There is a novel set in the Texas Hill Country entitled The Time It Never Rained. It is set in the 1950s in a time of severe drought. The main character is named Charlie Flagg. He's a 60-year-old rancher who is an honorable man, independent, trustworthy, and honest. Well, one day, one of Charlie's workers rides in to tell him he's discovered somebody. He's discovered three Mexican nationals hiding in a nearby ravine. The three men are almost starving. They've come looking for work so they can send money home to their families. When Charlie hears this, he invites them to his home and in Spanish tells them he's sorry he can't hire them. But then he says this, "I can sure feed you." And Charlie does. He provides a huge meal of delicious food. And after they've eaten, he gives them even more food and water to carry with them on their journey back to Mexico. And he offers a word of advice. "Be careful and lay low," he tells them. "There's a new border patrol officer in the area looking for folks just like you." Well, not long after these words, the new officer drives up. He's on a routine of Charlie's ranch hands, wants to make sure they're all legal. Well, all appears well. But then, as the officer turns to leave, Charlie sees the three men that he had fed, and what are they doing? They're coming back up the road. And he goes, "Oh no," he tries to warn them away with a wave, but it's too late. The officer sees them, takes them into custody and handcuffs them. And as they're put in the patrol car, Charlie whispers to them, "I'm so sorry, why did you come back?" And one of them says, "We could not go without thanking you again. We have nothing to give you but our thanks." Perhaps that's the way the leper feels when Jesus heals him. Gratitude turns him around and brings him back. He falls in praise at Jesus' feet. "I have nothing to give you but my thanks." Surprisingly, this healed leper is a Samaritan. We've learned that Samaritans are outcasts. They're not even members of Israel's family. This is a foreigner, as Jesus calls him. And yet he is the one, the only one, that Jesus has healed that comes back to say thank you. "Were not 10 made clean?" says Jesus. He must be looking around in disbelief. "But the other 9, where are they?" Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Well, I suppose we shouldn't be too hard on the other 9. Jesus had told them, after all, to go see the priest. They were fulfilling a religious duty. The priest would certify that they were healed, and then they would be able to return to their families and communities. These 9 were no doubt caught up in the excitement of health and homecoming. They just forget to say thank you. But the Samaritan remembers. He gets it right. He can well echo the biblical words, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." The Samaritan, someone outside the faith community, knows the source of life. And so the man falls at Jesus' feet and says, "Thank you." Well, how about you and me? Do we remember to say thanks? Would we return like that one leper? Would we return like Charlie Flagg's guests, willing to face danger to say thank you? Well, I suspect that you and I are not always faithful in saying thanks. But Jesus is always faithful in bringing mercy, in showing love, in restoring us to wholeness. Get up and go on your way, Jesus tells the Samaritan. Your faith has made you well. That is to say, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. The Christian writer Paul Duke says this about this story. Obedience is needful for the cure, but not all of those cured are whole. The whole are those whose hearts break into praise, who fall with abandon at the feet of love, at the feet of Jesus. For you see, whole people are grateful people. They see who their Savior is. In turning back to say thanks, the Samaritan leper revealed a new heart and a new vision. He will see with new eyes now that he's been made whole. My father worked very hard as a dairy farmer. He also tilled the land. He got up early and stayed up late, milking the cows, plowing the soil, planting the seed, tilling up the weeds, chopping out those thistles in the pasture, harvesting crops, and on and on. He expended an enormous amount of energy taking care of the farm and the cattle, and was devoted to taking care of his family, too. He could have easily forgotten who his Creator was and seen his success due to all of his hard work, his own doing. But he never lost sight of who the Creator was and is. It is God who creates the land, gives the sun, the rain, and warmth, provides the food, and offers love. So at every morning and evening devotion, and at every meal we shared as a family, my dad gave thanks for everything. He didn't leave anyone or anything out. Because you see, he saw with new eyes. He had the wholeness of love. To say it another way, faith allows us to see. It creates humility and thankfulness. One theologian wrote this: Christians see differently, and that is why their prayer, their worship, their acts, their whole way of being in the world has a distinctive accent and flavor. Jesus meets a group of 10 lepers who cry out for him, who cry out for his mercy. Lord, have mercy. You see, Jesus is traveling toward Jerusalem. He knows what awaits him there. He is going there to die. The cross rises on the horizon like a gathering storm. And yet, even in the midst of this final journey, Jesus is able to hear the people cry out and to see the lepers. It's a small but significant detail. Jesus sees the lepers, the Bible says, and then heals them. Just like Charlie Flagg in the novel sees the Mexican immigrants and feeds them, just like him, Jesus actually sees the outcast, even though the religious law, the civil law, and the human nature itself conspire to make lepers and immigrants and foreigners kind of invisible. Oftentimes, these people are ignored or sent away. Jesus ends his journey in Jerusalem, and he dies there a most hideous death. But on the third day, thanks be to God, on the third day, Jesus is alive again. It is this Jesus, this risen Christ, who comes among us this morning. He comes to you this morning. He sees you. He truly sees you in all your joys and sorrows, all your strengths and frailties, all your hopes and fears. And Jesus never turns away. You and I are worth everything to him, even his very life. He sees you. He sees you with eyes of love, touches you with hands of healing, and feeds you with a banquet of bread and wine, a feast of himself. It is a meal of thanksgiving that we eat this morning, a meal of thank you, Jesus, that we have this morning. 10 lepers were healed by Jesus, and only one turns around to give thanks. Only one recognizes the gift that will change his life and that will open his eyes. But you and I have nothing to give to God. Nothing to give but our thankful lives. So when this worship time is ended, I trust you will go from here with grateful hearts, hearts that break open with praise. Go from here with new eyes, eyes that will see the others, even those that are very different from ourselves. For you and I, each one of us, each and every one of you are God's children. And God is working to make you whole. Amen.